Understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium. World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Is the world staring World War III in the face? America has been at war so long, the war against terrorism and the war in Iraq, that we've become hardened and desensitized to the continual rhetoric about war and rumors of war. Last week, the evening news was filled with President Bush's warning to world leaders that a nuclear Iran would lead to World War III. In that speech, President Bush boldly declared, "So I've told people that if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing them from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon." This speech came a day after Russian President Vladimir Putin visited Iran and warned the U.S. against taking military action against Iran. Putin poured new fuel on a conflict that was already raging between Iran and Western nations. Putin stated that there was no evidence to suggest that Iran had plans to build a nuclear bomb. Putin also secured the vital backing of Azerbaijan in a five-nation pact by the Caspian states to prevent the U.S. from using the region as a staging ground for military action against Iran. Putin's visit served to ratchet up the rhetoric between Iran, Israel, and the United States. And on the heels of Putin's visit, chief nuclear negotiator of Iran, Ali Larijani, resigned. Larijani was considered a moderate, one that perhaps the West could work with. He was set to meet a European Union foreign policy chief, Javier Solana, in Rome on Tuesday for more discussions about Iran's nuclear ambitions. Iran replaced him with Saeed Jalali, Deputy Minister for Europe and American Affairs. This week, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said, "Iran will not negotiate with anyone about its right to nuclear technology." He went on to say, "We're in favor of talks, but we will not negotiate with anyone about our right to nuclear technology. The party which should act and set conditions," he said, "is Iran, not the other party." Last week, after the exchange between Russian President Vladimir Putin and U.S. President George Bush, two Israeli television channels ran a possible World War III scenario, linking it to Bible prophecies found in Ezekiel 38. Israeli newscasts featured Gog and Magog maps of the likely alignment of nations in that potential conflict. The Gog and Magog nations are listed in Ezekiel 38. Channels 2 and 10 of Israeli television showed the world map sketching the basic alignment of the two opposing axes in a coming world war in a manner evoking associations of the Gog and Magog prophecy for many viewers. The prophecy of Gog and Magog refers to a great world war centered on the Holy Land and Jerusalem and first appears in the book of Ezekiel. On one side, according to this television program, were Israel, the United States, Britain, France, and Germany. On the other side were Iran, Russia, China, Syria, and North Korea. And in the wake of last week's war of words, Israel's foreign minister, Tzipi Livni, called for a new Security Council against Iran. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice spoke in support of Livni's statement by saying, "I do believe that there is a need for another Security Council resolution." She further stated, "We need to get everyone on board, including Russia and China." Of course, Russia and China have permanent seats on the Security Council, and they can veto any resolution, and that's one of the reasons why stricter sanctions have not been imposed on Iran up to this point. Secretary of State Rice was in Israel most of the week, shuttling back and forth between Israeli and Palestinian officials, trying to lay the groundwork for the upcoming peace talks scheduled for mid-November in Annapolis, Maryland, in the United States. The goal of these peace talks is to lay the final framework for an independent Palestinian state. It's a continuation of the decades-old Land for Peace principle that we've heard about for a long time. Apparently, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert of Israel is willing to give up control of the Temple Mount and divide Jerusalem. However, over 70% of the Israelis are against dividing Jerusalem and allowing the Palestinians to control the Temple Mount. And one of the great ironies in all of this is the fact that the Israelis gained control of all of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount in the 1967 war, but turned right around and relinquished control of the Temple Mount to the Palestinians. Muslims say their prayers on the Temple Mount, but all other religious groups cannot conduct any kind of religious services on the Mount. As close as the Jews can get is the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, where they come and say their prayers on a daily basis. But they don't go on the Temple Mount. They're forbidden to do so. And furthermore, most of them believe that the Temple Mount would have to be purified by the ashes of a red heifer before they went on the Temple Mount anyhow. Last week, WorldNet Daily ran an editorial by evangelist and author Hal Lindsey in which he warned U.S. officials that they would pay a dear price for agreeing to participate in negotiations that would lead to the division of Jerusalem. Lindsey based his warnings on scriptures from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 14, you could read the first few verses there. But it seems that Israel is more concerned about the possibility of Iran securing nuclear weapons than it is about being surrounded by hostile neighbors. Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Salah Meridor, speaking to an American Jewish committee luncheon, declared this week that Israel should always be prepared to preempt, to deter, and to defeat, if we can, any threats to our nation. He went on to say that time was running out on preventing Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons. Some Israeli officials believe that something must be done before President Bush leaves office because a new U.S. president may not take the position that President Bush has taken against Iran's nuclear intentions. Reports continue that Iran is supplying the insurgents in Iraq with weapons and strategic support. The World Tribune News Service reports that U.S. military officials say that Iran has smuggled advanced surface air missiles into Iraq for the purpose of downing U.S. combat aircraft. Officials say that Iran has transported manned portable SAM systems to Shiite allies in Iraq. That's down south in the area around Basra. They said some of the missiles have already been fired at U.S. Army helicopters. U.S. Army Colonel Daniel Shanahan said, quote, it's a real concern and it's something that we're dealing with. So they're having to equip helicopters with anti-missile technology. All of this comes on the heels of several reports that Iran is actively aiding and abetting the enemy in Iraq, which gives the Bush administration more fodder to rattle the saber once again and to warn Iran about interference in Iraq. The question of the hour is, will all of these events lead the nations to World War III? And if World War III is looming on the horizon, what does that mean for you and I? It seems to me that we have come to the point that people do not really trust any of the news services that are filling the airways 24 hours a day. Will any of the news that we hear or see through the various media sources really make a difference in how people live their lives? There are many voices crying out, warning us to get our houses in order because it is later than we think. The handwriting is on the wall. Financial experts warn that the plummeting U.S. dollar and the rise of the euro portends financial disaster for U.S. consumers and chaos on world monetary markets. The dollar has lost at least 25% of its purchasing power on the world market in recent months. This means rising costs of all goods and services. Fuel and food costs are soaring. Religious leaders are crying out, warning us that the troubles that are plaguing humankind is a result of forgetting God. The bloggers and op-ed writers are writing eloquent pleas for the U.S. and the peoples of the U.S. to change our ways before it's too late. But all of these words, regardless of the source or the sources, seem to fall on deaf ears. School boards can decide to provide contraceptives to middle school children ages 11 to 13. In a recent Democratic presidential candidates debate, one held in New England, John Edwards was asked, "The issues surrounding gay rights have been hotly debated here in New England. For example, last year, some parents of second graders in Lexington, Massachusetts, were outraged to learn their children's teachers had read a story about same-sex marriage, about a prince who marries another prince. Same-sex marriage is legal in Massachusetts, but most of you oppose it. Would you be comfortable having this story read to your children as part of their school curriculum?" Edwards responded, "Absolutely." He rambled on to say that he wanted his children to be able to make the decision for themselves, that he didn't want to play God for them. How about just God playing God? How about just reading the Bible to see what it says? Barack Obama said, "I feel very similar to John." He went on to say his wife and he had already talked to his children about same-sex marriage. Clinton said, "I really respect what both John and Barack said." She went on to talk in generalities about tolerance and diversity. Yet it is doubtful that 10% of U.S. parents would agree with their responses. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the perilous times in which we live. We are indeed living in perilous times. The handwriting is on the wall anywhere you want to look. Political issues, social issues, foreign policy, economic issues, anything that you want to name, and wherever you look in the world, you'll find that the peoples of the world are in deep trouble. These indeed are the times that try men's souls, but yet many people don't even realize what is happening. You need to understand what is going on in today's world. We can send you a free publication that will help you stay abreast of what's going on in this world and how you can cope with the many issues that we're having to face in this world. We'll send you a free subscription to the Good News magazine that will help you understand many of these issues and also give you insight from the Word of God as to how you can prepare yourself for the times that lie ahead. And in addition to that, we will enroll you in our free Bible study course. The free Bible study course consists of 12 beautifully designed lessons that will lead you through the Bible from Genesis through the book of Revelation. All you have to do to receive the free offer is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. In the first segment of our program, we have seen that issues on the world scene continue to rage. Iran says that it will not be deterred from developing its nuclear program. Russian President Vladimir Putin warns the U.S. to stay out of Iran and not to think about invading Iran or attacking Iran. We see that the U.S. administration continues to try to get the peace process back on track in Israel, and they're hoping to create a Palestinian state. And it seems that Israeli Prime Minister Olmert is willing to cooperate and even talking about ceding East Jerusalem and perhaps even the Temple Mount to the Palestinians. And at the same time, over 70% of the Israelis oppose this plan. And you look at the domestic issues in the United States, the great social issues of the day concerning abortion, homosexuality, the stance that our politicians are taking. And at the same time, we see that many professing Christians are gullible. They tend to think that if a presidential candidate is against abortion and homosexuality, that he is a Christian. And I would ask the question, can you be a Christian and be pro-abortion and pro-homosexuality? Well, not according to the Bible and the writings of the Bible all the way through. You find it in the Old Testament, you'll find it in the New Testament, where the Apostle Paul lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9, where he describes those who will not be in the kingdom of God because of certain behaviors and certain practices. All you have to do is read it for yourself. Open pages of your Bible and read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, and see who will be disqualified from the kingdom of God because of certain sins. Jesus Christ did not come to the world to save people in their sins, but to save them out of their sins. So there's more to being a Christian than being against abortion and homosexuality. Now, according to the Bible, those things are not acceptable according to what is written in the Bible. President Bush says that he's a Christian and that he is against same-sex marriage and abortion. Yet, when interviewed by ABC's Charles Gibson, President George W. Bush revealed his lack of even basic understanding of Christian doctrine, or at least he would not take a stand. Here's a verbatim transcript from that interview. Gibson, do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim? President Bush, his answer, I think we do. We have different routes of getting to the Almighty. Question from Gibson, do Christians and non-Christians and Muslims go to heaven in your mind? President Bush's answer, yes, they do. We have different routes of getting there. Then just a few days ago, President Bush, in an interview with Al Arabiya Television, said, I believe in an almighty God, and I believe that all the world, whether they be Muslim, Christian, or any other religion, prays to the same God. And in the same interview, he said, quote, I believe there is a universal God. I believe the God that the Muslims praise to is the same God that I pray to. After all, we all come from Abraham. I believe in that universality. Well, everyone doesn't come from Abraham. It is true that Abraham is the father of the Arabs through Ishmael, and Abraham is the father of the Jews through Isaac. The Bible clearly says that the promises were passed on to Isaac. What are those promises? That in all the nations, of the earth would be blessed in the seed of Abraham. And then the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 3:16 that that seed is Christ, that it is through Christ that all the nations of the earth can be blessed. And God is not a respecter of persons, as we shall see. The total identity of a Christian does not reside on taking a stand on a few social issues, but that's necessary if these issues violate the Word of God, you have to take a stand against it. But the identity of a true Christian centers on embracing and living according to the whole counsel of God. What about the simplicity of the Ten Commandments? What about the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. How simple is that? You shall have no other gods before me. Time after time, God declares that He is a jealous God, and there are no other gods. Recently, Ann Coulter said that she wished that the Jews were, or she said that the Jews were incomplete in their beliefs. She didn't really condemn them, as some of the critics said. She said they were incomplete in their beliefs and that they should take the next step in perfecting their beliefs and convert to Christianity. See, that's what the Old Testament leads to and the Old Covenant, to lead us to Christ. The media pundits jumped all over her for this statement, saying, "What gives her the right to play God?" they ask, along with many other derogatory statements. The problem with those who critique religion in the public arena are basically biblically illiterate. The God of the Hebrew and Christian Bible is not exclusive. God is not a respecter of persons. The plan of salvation that is so beautifully presented in the Bible is inclusive. It includes everyone, all nations, races, kindreds, and peoples on the face of the earth, everyone who has lived or ever will live or who is living presently. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The exclusive part of the Bible is how all can be included. Humankind has devised hundreds of religions, all of them claiming to have the inside track to immortality. But their source of revelation is often limited to the machinations of men. In other words, they've made God over in their own image and set up idols in their own minds and in their hearts, and based all of this on faulty human reasoning. The Bible reveals that God is our Creator, our Father, and that He deeply desires to share who He is and what He is with humankind. The Bible states in Acts 4:12, "There is none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved." Thus, the way is exclusive. There's only one way, but the plan is inclusive. It includes everyone, and will eventually be made available to everyone. Does that mean universal salvation, that everyone will be saved? No. They won't be saved unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, repent of their sins, and receive God's Spirit and begin to live that way. Sadly, the peoples of the world will have to learn this lesson the hard way. The Apostle Paul writes of our day, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And we see every one of these attitudes and behaviors being practiced right before our eyes, and sometimes thrown right into their faces, every day in our nation. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Oh yes, get on television, get on the media and take a stand and watch the telephone lines light up. They don't want to hear about "this is the way, walk you in it," because immediately, who are you to impose your values on someone else? But what if those values come straight from the Word of God? Goes on to say, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And surely we are given over to pleasure in this nation, in this world, at the present time. Having a form of godliness," oh, they may go to church and they may profess, "but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." What is the power thereof? The power thereof is to receive the Spirit of God and be transformed into the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with different lusts." And almost every television program of any sort that you want to view today is laden with some kind of sexual innuendos. He goes on to say, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. They don't know the true way. Oh, they learn a lot, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth that will set them free indeed. And if Christ sets you free, you shall be free indeed. He goes on to say, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So will you be deceived by the many distractions that are causing our peoples to live in a semi-stupefied, apathetic state of denial and self-indulgence. Bible prophecy makes it clear that Jerusalem is going to become a trembling cup for all nations. The prophet Zechariah writes, Zechariah 12, verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the peoples of the earth be gathered together against it. And eventually, Satan, the beast, and the false prophet are going to deceive the nations and trying to defeat Jesus Christ and the saints when they return. In that day, says the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And in verse 12 of chapter 10 of Zechariah, it says that they will look on him whom they pierce, that is the Jews, and they will come to understand that Jesus Christ is the only hope. And eventually all the nations of the world will come to understand that. So why does Jerusalem become the focal point of all nations? There are many reasons that have to do with geopolitics, economics, and other strategies, but the most important reason resides in the spiritual domain. Satan the devil is on an insatiable quest to be worshipped. Ever since he deceived one-third of the angels into following him in a rebellion of trying to take over the throne of God, he's been on this quest to be worshipped and to break prophecy. Jerusalem is the spiritual capital of Judaism and Christianity and the third holiest site in Islam. Satan is eventually going to inspire one to sit in the temple of God in the environs of Jerusalem proclaiming that he is God. And everyone on the face of the earth whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship this Satan-possessed pseudo-Messiah. Read it in Revelation 13 and verse 8. More and more we see events developing on the world scene that will lead to the days when Jerusalem is divided and given over to the nations for 3.5 years, with this pseudo-Messiah planting his headquarters in the Holy Mountain. Read this in Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2, about the city being divided and given over to the nations. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Daniel 11, verse 45. The question for you is, will you come to your end of days without help and hope? Remember, the Apostle Paul writes, that if we have hope only in this life, we're of all men most miserable. So what about you? Will you continue in a state of denial and self-indulgence? Or will you open the pages of your Bible and discover the great love and mercy of God and His inclusive plan of salvation? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on the program, a subscription to the Good News magazine that will keep you abreast of what's going on in this world and how you can cope with the things that are happening and prepare for the future, and also to receive the free Bible study course taking you all the way through the Bible in 12 beautifully designed lessons, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this station next week for World News and Prophecy.